In this series of teachings under the pathway of revival, we will be looking at a number of things as clearly stated in the message we actually call the Beta message that was given to our leader in 2009. As we well know, phase three of our ministry, the goal is very, very clear. 1 million house churches in 1 million house churches made of up 50 to 100 believers who are obeying clearly the revival message, which we also call the Betra message. In this teaching, I will be looking at deliverance from sin or freedom from sin, which is the first step towards that personal revival. Revival, the coming back to our first love. I will introduce this teaching by reading a portion of Deliverance from Sin, for the book Deliverance from Sin. The believer is saved from the consequence of sin, which is eternal separation from God, which will be consummated from the lake of fire, the very moment he received the Lord as his Savior and as his Lord. So from the first day that the believer comes to surrender his life to the Lord, he actually is saved from the consequences of sin. In other words, he can be very sure that he will no longer go to hell. Many of his old habits will disappear instantaneously, and the believer mistakenly expects things to go on that way without any active cooperation from him. He may start thinking that now that all my old habits, some of my old habits have disappeared, things will just continue like that. He is often shocked when he finds that he is tempted, and that during the temptation, he may even yield and do things that he has to do. Suddenly, he finds out that in spite of the fact that some of his old habits have disappeared, he soon finds himself being tempted, and that even in the temptation, he may yield to some of the temptation. And many of the believers, young believers, are bewildered at this point and give up the Christian life. Others may not give up the Christian life, but they enter into an unstable life of being delivered from sin one moment and the next falling into sin again. Such a life is one of sin and repentance. This is an extract from the book by Razak Forman, Deliverance from Sin. Such a believer can go on with in this cycle of sin and repentance until he comes to the point that he knows that we are not only delivered from the consequences of sin, he can also be delivered from the power of sin. This short lesson, which we will actually be looking at, is aimed at helping us to enter into that point where we know that we are not only saved from the consequences of sin, we actually come to the point that we can be delivered from the power of sin. In other words, the grip of sin over a believer's life can be broken, and he can actually enter into a freedom, into his freedom, and begin to walk a sin-free life. Talking about a sin-free life, some people may ask, is it possible actually to live a sin-free life? Yes, that is exactly one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ died. And in this lesson, we'll be looking at how you can enter into total freedom from the power of sin, walk in this life of holiness, walk in the life that not only satisfies the Lord, and that brings you joy, brings you peace, brings you rest, because you will no longer be condemned in your inside by today you are in sin, tomorrow you come out of sin, today you are in sin, tomorrow you come out of sin, and after a time you begin to ask yourself, what's the difference between me and an unbeliever? That's what this short lesson is meant to help us. Help us to know freedom from sin and begin to walk daily and continuously in righteousness, being delivered from sin day by day, hour by hour, so that you may be able to go for days, weeks, months, and even years without deliberately committing any sin. So you can walk daily You can walk hourly, you can walk second by second, you can walk each year of your life without deliberately committing any sin. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not just come to die for us, he came and died so that we may know total freedom from sin. We will look at salvation from the power of sin. If you have your Bible wherever you are, you may open with us in Romans chapter 6. I will read from verse 12 to 14. I say it again, Romans chapter 6 from 12 to 14. The Bible says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Get it? Do not let sin reign. In other words, I am the one who can permit sin to reign in my life. I am also the one who can say, no, sin will not rule over my life. St. Paul said, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desire. In other words, I permit sin to reign and then I begin to obey the evil desire of sin. He said, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as instrument of righteousness. In other words, I can offer part of my body to sin, and sin reign over me, and sin begin to control me, and I can begin to use my mouth to commit sin, I can use my hand to commit sin, I can use my eye to commit sin, I can use my legs to go where I will commit sin, but I can also decide that I will not offer my body to sin, so that sin begin to rule my life. I can take every part of my body and offer them to God as instrument are things you use to do something. I can use my hand can be instrument of sin, my mouth can be instrument of sin, my eyes can be instrument of sin, but I am the one who decide to offer, whom to offer the part of my body. So we will be looking at it, how you can reach that point where you have actually offered you are the part of your body no longer as instrument of sin. It says, verse 14 says, for sin shall no longer be your master. It says, sin shall no longer be your master. When a person has come to this point where sin is no longer his master, he has actually come to the point where he has known freedom from sin. For sin shall no longer be your master. And that is what exactly the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He came to be our master so that sin is no longer our master. Deliver from the power of sin. We'll look again in Romans chapter 6. How do we know this deliverance? We do not know deliverance from the power of sin by struggling. We don't know by fighting. We don't know. It is not by fighting that we enter into this freedom from sin. Something happened to us which we need to discover. We need to know. We need to know who we are now in Christ Jesus. And that is that knowledge that actually brings us to know total freedom from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, for we know that our old self or our sinful self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. He said, we know that our old self, our sinful self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with. So that this body that committed sin, that moved us to sin, might be eliminated, done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. That you should no longer be slave to sin. So you can reach a point where you are no longer a slave to sin. You will no longer be a slave to immorality. You are no longer a slave to lie study. You are no longer a slave to anger. You are no longer a slave to falsehood. You are no longer a slave to pretense. You are no longer a slave to anger. A slave to bitterness. How does it happen? Verse 7 tells us, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So, very clear. How does deliverance from sin come? It is death. Anyone who has died. And how? When did that death take place? When did it take place? The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took the believer with him. And when Jesus Christ was being nailed to the cross, the believer was nailed to the cross. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the old self of the believer, the sinful nature of the believer, was crucified for one purpose, that the believer may be set free from sin. If you tell many people that Christ died for them, they have no problem believing it. To them, they believe very easily. Truly, they believe that Christ died for them. Christ went to the cross. It's historic. But there is the second aspect of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ did not go to the cross alone. On the day he went to the cross, he took along with him humanity. He took along with him man. So that as he was being nailed to the cross, whoever will ever identify with him, the fact that he died on the cross, also identify with the fact that he died with Christ, that person will know freedom from sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So freedom from sin, the first step is that a man must know what happened to him. It is historic, just like the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was historic. It is something that happened. You were crucified. You were nailed to the cross. Your sinful nature was nailed to the cross. The life of lifestyle was nailed to the cross. The life of masturbation was nailed to the cross. The life of wickedness, of hatred, was nailed to the cross. For only one purpose, that you may be set free from sin. He said, because anyone who has died, anyone who has died. So the first step is that the believer should know he died. It is not that he will die. The Bible does not say that he will die. So it is death that brings freedom. The believer died on the same day the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. So when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, I went with him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was being nailed to the cross, I was being nailed with him. When the Lord Jesus Christ said it is finished, the life of sin in my life was also finished. Just as I believe that Christ died for me, if I also come to that point, knowing that Christ died for me, I also come to that point and know that I died with Christ, and by faith, I believe it, and by faith, I enter into that truth. I will enter into what is called freedom from the power of sin. So freedom from the power of sin begins by knowledge. It is not the knowledge of what I have done. It is the knowledge of what he did. Just like salvation from the consequences of sin began with, I know he died for me. Then I believe he died for me. Then I enter into that truth. I accept that truth. And I turn to him and say, you who died for my sin, I surrender my life to you. In the same way, I can turn to him and say, you went to the cross, I also went with you. And when you had been nailed to the cross, I was then also being nailed, and my sinful nature was crucified. The believer can declare his freedom. It is knowledge and faith in what happened that gave the believer victory over sin. Knowledge and faith. I know it, I believe it, and I proclaim it, and I claim it, and I enter into it. I know it. How do I know it? It is written. How did I know that Christ died for me? I was not there when Christ was dying for me. I read it, I believe it, I enter into it, and I can tell anybody today my sin, I forgive. It is the same thing. I know it. That the Bible says that when Christ went to the cross, I went with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was being nailed to the cross, I was being nailed with him. And when he died, I died. And as he was dying, my own sinful nature was crucified. So it was not just Jesus Christ that was crucified. I was also crucified with him. so I can declare Christ died for me. And many people know that. Many of us accept it. That Christ, you tell everybody on the street, I say, who is Jesus? He Jesus died for my sin. But that is not the whole truth. He died for your sin. The second part of the truth is that you died with him. Your sinful nature died with him. It is this lack of discovery, this lack of the knowledge of what happened to you on the cross that has made you a slave to sin up to today. You continue to live in sin after salvation, not because you don't have the power. You continue to live in sin out of ignorance. You died. The sinful nature was crucified. Wherever you are, I want you to proclaim, say, my sinful nature was crucified. Say, my sinful nature was crucified. My sinful nature was crucified. My sinful nature was crucified. I went with Christ to the cross. And when Christ was being crucified on the cross, I was being crucified on the cross. Say it wherever you are, that I died with Christ. I died with Christ. I died with Christ. And the Bible says, he who has died has been freed from sin. So freedom from sin comes through death. Freedom from the consequence of sin comes through the death of Jesus. And freedom from the power of sin comes also through my own death. So the believer should declare very clearly that he is dead to sin. He should declare it very, very clearly that he is dead to sin. Not only dead to sin, he is now alive to God in Christ Jesus. He died to sin, but he is alive. He is alive. He is alive. That's why Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified. That's what Paul says in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live, but the life I live, I mean, live now by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. I have been crucified. I have crucified me. I died. I was killed. I was nailed to the cross together with Christ. So not only Christ was nailed to the cross, I was also nailed to the cross. This is a critical part, not just a doctrine. It is something that every believer should enter into by experience. Very simple. You became a child of God and you believe that your sins were forgiven, not because you were there the day Christ had been nailed to the cross. You just read it from the word of God and then you believed it. In the same way, you hear it is written, just believe it, and as you believe it, enter into it, and as you enter into it, begin to proclaim it, just like you can proclaim and tell anybody, whether they wake you up at midnight, that you are a child of God, that you are no longer going to hell because Christ died for you. I want you to enter into that experience and begin to proclaim, begin to declare. It is a recorded fact and recorded before God that you died. You died. The believer who knows he has died to sin should refuse to let sin reign in his mortal body, and therefore make him to begin to obey sin. If you have died, I was reading about a believer, a young believer somewhere. Before he believed, he used to play cards, play all this gambles here and there with his friend. But when he gave his life to the Lord, he discovered from the word of God that he died and that the part of his body no longer belonged to him, but they belonged to the Lord. And one of his friends asked him, come on, let's play cards. He told the friend, I can't play cards again. I don't have hands. I don't have hands. And the friend asked me, what are those things I am saying? Are those eggs? He said, the hand that used to play cards died. These hands you are seeing are no longer mine. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ will not gamble, I will not use his hand to gamble. The eyes you have are no longer yours. The mouth you have is no longer yours. The ears you have are no longer yours. The hands you have are no longer yours. The legs you have are no longer yours. The one you had died, crucified, died, and in baptism buried. What you are now is a new life that was given to you to live it for the Lord. So the believer does not just fight to know freedom from sin. The believer enter into freedom to sin. Freedom, not freedom from sin, because something happened to him on the cross. So he does not fight with sin or temptation. It is an established fact. He reckons it. He believes it. He proclaims it. I died to sin. An established fact. An established fact. I don't need anybody to come and tell me, to prophesy over my life that I am a man. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Nobody need to tell me that I am not an animal, that I'm a human. I know it. In the same way, the word of God tells you very clearly, you have been delivered. You have been set free from sin. Believe it and enter into your freedom. So that's the first point. If you will know freedom from the power of sin, if you enter into that freedom, if the grip of sin over your life will be broken, you have to believe that you died. Not only do you believe that you died, you need to reckon, establish, declare it, begin to proclaim it, begin to confess it, begin to speak it aloud. It is not your experience that makes you to say you are free from sin. The word of God cannot be broken. Your experience will change, but the word, heaven and earth will pass away. But what is written in the word of God will never pass away. As you begin to make that declaration, that proclamation, your experience will change and become like what is written in the word of God about you. So the believer does not fight with sin or temptation. He reckons according to God's word that he died to sin and is alive unto God. He believes what God's word says about him, and he proclaims it, and he stands on it. He believes it, he proclaims it, he stands on it, he declares it, he confesses it, and then it begins his whole being. He knows it, he knows it, he knows it, he knows it. He can tell everybody, I have been set free from sin. I have been set free. Not I will be set free from sin. It took place in the past because he was crucified together with Christ. After that, what is the next step? We are still in Romans chapter 6. If I know that my body, I have been set free from sin, if I know that my hands are no longer just sinful hands, they are now hands that belong to another, it takes me to a point that I should yield that which have been set free from sin to the one who set me free from sin. It is called yielding. I yield to the Lord. Let us look at Romans chapter 6 again, verse 13 and 14. Romans chapter 6. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Brought from death to life. I offer. So if I have been set free from sin, delivered from the power of sin, I am not supposed to take this life, part of my body that have been set free from sin, and to hand them over. I am the one. I can hand over. Remember that the Satan is the thief. If I hand over my hand to him, he will use my hand to steal. If I hand over my mouth, if I open my mouth and hand them over to him, he will use my mouth to tell lies. He will use my mouth to sing sinful song. He will use my mouth to curse people. But I tell myself, I will not offer. So the next part is that you offer, you yield, you surrender the part of your body. It is this life of, Lord, I surrender my hand. This hand died. The hands died to sin, and therefore henceforth I take this hand and I yield them to you, and that this hand will never be used to touch anything that is sinful. This hand will never be used to do anything sinful. Lord, I offer my mouth. It is an act of offering, of yielding, of surrendering that which died and that which now is alive unto righteousness. I hand over to God as instrument of righteousness. If I take it and hand over to the enemy will use them again as instrument of sin. So in this verse, these two verses, we are seeing something. It says, the believer who has died to sin should refuse to offer any part of his body to the enemy to be used in a sinful way or a sinful purpose. Refuse that you will not offer your mouth. Refuse that you will not offer your hands. There will be the temptation that to look at what was some pornography on a screen somewhere. You tell yourself, my eye is not for dirty things. My eyes are not for dirty things. There will be the temptation to touch something. In a filthy way, you tell yourself, my hands are not for filthy things. There will be the temptation to go to a place that the Lord is saying, don't go. You tell yourself, my legs belong to the Lord. They cannot go to a filthy place. So you refuse. The believer refuses to surrender his body, a part of his body, as instrument of sin. What is he supposed to do? He should yield or offer his body as instrument of righteousness to God. I can use my hand to commit righteousness. I can also use my hand. If you permit, if you only separate yourself and tell yourself that you will not use your hand to do that which is sinful, and you will remain passive, very soon the temptation will come. Passivity will push you back to do the evil that we were doing before. We are not called to be passive. Use your mouth. Before you use your mouth to curse people, use your mouth now to bless people. Before you use your mouth to campaign for the devil, use your mouth now to preach the gospel. Before you use your eyes in order to see filthy things, use your eyes. The Bible says the eye is the light of the body. See greater vision and pursue greater vision for the Lord. Run after the greater things that God wants to use you to do. Don't sit passively. Let your feet be used to take you somewhere to preach the gospel. Let your mouth be used to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to preach the gospel, to sing to the Lord. Let your hand be used to bless people, to pray for people. You lay hand on people. If you don't use your hand as instrument of righteousness, you don't surrender your hand as instrument of your righteousness, the devil will come to tempt you to use them as instrument for sin. You should refuse. That's what we see in verse 14. It says, for sin shall no longer be your master. Refuse. Tell the devil. Tell sin, I used to be your slave. I am no longer your slave. So it is actually you who can permit sin to come back. Many years back, when we were at university, one time we had a strike. And the student went and broke into a prison. And many prisoners ran off. Some went back and said, we are the prisoner who used to be here. We have come back to be prisoners again. I read a book. Somebody was asking, the prison door is open. What are you still doing inside? Then the question for you is, sin was, the power of sin was broken over your life. How come you take yourself to go and offer to the devil as a, to be your master again? Offer yourself to sin so that sin will rule over you again. You can decide. You should refuse to obey your former master called sin. So tell yourself, you will no longer obey sin. You should tell immorality, I will no longer obey you. You should tell lies, I will no longer obey you. You should tell anger, there's a temptation to be angry. Turn to anger, I will no longer obey you. Turn to pretense, that falsehood, that hypocrisy. Tell yourself, I will be true, I'm no longer a slave to hypocrisy. There will be the temptation. Go and commit immorality. Go and commit fornication. Go and commit masturbation. Do it now. You turn to it and say, I am no longer your slave. I was once your slave. I will not do what you want. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 again, verse 16 to 18. We're just saying, I have the choice to surrender the part of my body. It's called yielding. It is called surrendering. It is called a handing over of my life. It is the same thing. You can hand over your money to be used for as instrument of righteousness. You can hand over your home to be used as instrument of righteousness. I will never forget a day I was at the university with my roommate. He was cooking, and then our neighbor just came with a cigarette, and then he wanted to use his cigarette to light it, light his cigarette from his stove, the stove he was using. My neighbor, my friend Brahaba, he jumped out and crushed the cigarette of the young man, and he told the young man, I belong to Jesus. My fire belongs to Jesus. Your cigarette belongs to the devil. You cannot take that which belongs to the devil and light it for my fire that belongs to God. Unfortunately, these days, many people want peace. No! You can never live a righteous life unless you are also ready for war. The moment you declare no, the two cannot be mixed together. Hallelujah. In verse 16, he says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slave, you are slave of the one you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So I offer myself as someone to obey him. I will become a slave of the person I obey. Lordship is established by obedience. When the temptation comes, the first time you resist, you say, I will not obey you. The second time, I will not obey you. The third time, I will not obey you. The fourth time, I will not obey you. He will run away. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But with the slightest temptation, you obey. You obey. After a time, sin will have control over your life. You break the grip of sin by saying, I will not obey you. Why don't you just confess now? Those things in your life that have taken you captive. Say immorality, I will not obey you. Lifestyle, I will not obey you. Anger, I will not obey you. Hypocrisy, I will not obey you. Good self withdrawal, I will not obey you. Those things in your life, declare that you will not obey them. They will not be your master. They are no longer your master. In verse 17, it tells us, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slave to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slave to righteousness. Get it? He said, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slave to sin, it is in the past. In the past, you were a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. I want you to declare wherever you are. Lift up your hand and say, I am no longer a slave to sin. Say, I used to be a slave to sin. Say, sin, listen to me. I used to be a slave to you, but I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer your slave. I am no longer your slave. I am a slave to righteousness. I read about a young man who bought a t-shirt and he wrote on it in front, I am a slave of Jesus. Everywhere, wherever he was passing, people were looking at it. In front, I am a slave of Jesus. And he was moving on the whole street. People look at. But as he moved and passed them, they also look behind. He also wrote behind, whose slave are you? I am a slave of Jesus. There are those who are slaves to sin. There are those who are slaves to righteousness. A slave has no choice. If you begin to obey the law, begin to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, begin to obey that voice that says, don't do it, don't say it. Begin to obey your conscience. After a time, it becomes spontaneous for you to say no to sin. It becomes spontaneous for you to live a righteous life. That's what slave to righteousness means. It means you begin to do it even unconsciously. Something within you to rebel against sin. He said, thank be to the Lord. You used to be slave to sin. But we thank God we are no longer slave to sin. And as a believer, you are no longer a slave to sin. You used to be. He said, but you receive a teaching like this teaching you are receiving. He said, you wholeheartedly, you receive a teaching that's wholehearted. You receive it from your heart, the pattern of teaching that claimed your allegiance. What was that pattern of teaching? They received a teaching that they were no longer a slave to sin, and they entered into their freedom, and today they could proclaim they are now slave to righteousness. So lordship is established by obedience. When sin brings its temptation and it is repeatedly obeyed, it establishes slavery over a man. Repeatedly resisted and disobeyed, it soon loses its grip over the victim. So when sin comes tempting you and you repeatedly obey, it establishes its grip over you. But if you increasingly disobey repeatedly, after a time its grip over you is broken. On the other hand, the person who obeyed the Spirit of God speaking through his conscience will soon become a slave of righteousness. He will find it easier to obey God's word and to walk right with God. The person who repeatedly obeys sin, obeys the temptation, yield to the temptation. Each time you resist a temptation, it gives you the power to resist the next temptation. Each time you yield to this temptation, it breaks the grip of your capacity to resist the next. So resist now and resist. That's what it means. Disobey sin. Disobey sin. Disobey the voice. Disobey. And after a time, the lordship over your life is no longer there. In verse 18, we are going to read what verse 18 says. You have been set free from sin. You have been set free from sin. I want you to declare it, and I want you to write it down. It is the word of God, is not to be argued. The word of God is to be believed. You have been set free from sin. I want you to say it. I have been set free from sin. I have been set free from sin. I have been set free from sin. Say it like that. Declare it to yourself 7 times. I have been set free from sin. And as you speak it, may it sink into your spirit. And may you begin to believe it. And may you begin to believe it. And enter into that experience. It says, I have been set free from sin. And I have become a slave to righteousness. Tell somebody where you are now. Say, I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to righteousness. You have yielded the part of your body. You have refused to continue to obey sin. You have started obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit and obey and obey and obey, because sin is no longer your master. Your master is the one who took you along with him to the cross, and now you are not living for him. It is not we were set free from sin, but something that took place. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We'll look at something rapidly. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, offer, that is the same thing. I beseech you, I beg you, offer. Offer means to take an hand over. Take your life, take your hands. This is what the life of consecration is all about. I take that which belonged to what was once mine, and I hand it over. He said, offer them to the Lord. And tell the Lord, from today, these are instrument of righteousness. This hand, instrument of righteousness. This mouth, instrument of righteousness. These eyes, instrument of righteousness. This money, instrument of righteousness. This house, instrument of righteousness. This car, instrument of righteousness. That which you offer to the Lord will use it. He says, do not be conformed. Conformity means you begin to imitate the people of the world. Don't imitate them. Don't imitate the world. Don't set your heart to be like them. They are the ones who should set their heart to become like you. because they are on the way to perdition. They are perishing. They are lost. You have found the right way. Don't begin to copy them. So the way to live a holy life, a sin-free life, is that which God has set free, hand over to the Lord. The way to lead a sin-free life is that which God has set free. You have been set free, captured from the world, don't begin to follow the people of the world again. Worldliness is setting your life to imitate the world. Setting your life to imitate them, to be like them. I cannot be like them because they are like their master, the devil. I am like the Lord Jesus and have tuned my heart on pilgrimage. I am not here to imitate the world. I have nothing that the world owes me. I owe the world nothing. And I don't explain. I don't tell them, sorry, I cannot do what you people are doing. No. I owe them no apology. I have a master that I should obey. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you will live a holy life, a life free from sin, I have offered a part of my body to the Lord. I have decided I will not imitate them. I have also decided I will get my mind renewed. How do you get your mind renewed? This daily meditation. That will be part of our teaching. This reading of the word. This meditating on the word, this thinking deep about the word, this reflecting, this being quiet in his presence, this ensuring that the wrong thing don't come to cloud your mind, this guarding your heart so that wrong thing don't enter. He says, be transformed by the renewal. Get your mind renewed. Meditate on the right thing. Meditate on the word. Read the word. Memorize it. And begin to speak the word to yourself. So offer yourself as living sacrifice. Refuse to conform to the world. And get transformed by the renewal of your mind. The person who has been set free from sin, offer yourself to the Lord. Refuse to conform. Refuse to compromise and set out. Read the right Christian books before you read wrong books, immoral books. Now, read books that will draw you closer and closer to God. Before you had a wrong environment where you were hearing filthy things, listening to filthy songs, now listen to the right songs. Songs that will draw you closer to God. The third aspect of freedom from sin is that you need to actively cooperate with the Lord. The active cooperation of a believer with God to uproot from his life things that God does not want and to plant in his life the things that God wants. That's the last thing I want to look at in this message. The active cooperation. Holiness is not passivity. You actively cooperate with God. What are the things in my life that should not be there? Let's look at 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, therefore, rid yourself, take out of your life all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander, and slander of every kind. This is just representation, representative. Take a rip, pull them, uproot. So there are things to uproot. There are things to pull out of your life. There are things to dismantle. There are things to shatter. He says, rid yourself. For every person, there are certain things in your life that have characterized you. The Bible says it is not God who will come and uproot them. God will not come and uproot falsehood. God, you are the one. You uproot them. You pull them out of their life. He said, there are things to uproot. Even just here, if you look at the next verse, he said, like newborn baby, desire the pure spiritual milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So I uproot certain things and I plant certain things. Even just here, one of the things to get planted in my life is that I should desire the word of God just like a baby desires spiritual milk. So you read yourself. God is not the one to do this for the believer. God, you are the one to cooperate with God. You know the thing that are in your life that must go out. You know the thing that defy the temple of God. Uproot them one by one. Pray and say, I'll pull this out of my life. Where it is resisting, you insist, pull it out of your life. Pull it out of your life and cooperate with God. If it was sinful companionship that led you to begin to do it, there are certain things the Bible says, if your right hand causes you to sin, come on, cut it off. There are some relationships that need to be cut off. There are some places you need to say, I will never go there again. If I went there last time, each time I go to this friend, it is slander, slander, slander. If the person does not want to change, come on, I'm the one to change. I stop going there. There are moments that there are books that you need to take and fear and throw. The moment that you may need to destroy certain things because those things are constantly pulling you back to sin. You rid yourself, you pull out. So holiness is practical. It is not just passive. Let's look at some other example in the Bible. Just read the following verses with us. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we'll rapidly read them. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 25. He said, therefore, each of you must put off. It is not God will put off. Each of you must put off. And the apostle mentioned specific things that each person must put off. And he prayed and he was writing to believers. He was not, this is not a message for unbelievers. He was saying, truly you have believed. But I see, hey, there is still this. Each of you must put off falsehood. There is what you put off and speak truthfully to your neighbor. You put off falsehood and you plant the life of truth. In your anger, do not sin. There are righteous anger, but there are sinful anger. You can be angry against sin, but you are not permitted to commit sin in your anger. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Maybe for you now, it is not just the sun. The day has gone down. The week has gone down. The year has gone down. And after many years, you are keeping bitterness on your heart. Come on, forgive the person and move on. Don't be a slave to bitterness. And do not give the devil a foothold. If you permit anger to continue to reign over your life, you have given the devil a foothold, because the devil is the most angry person on earth. You enter into fellowship with the devil. It started with falsehood. The Bible talks about Satan is the father of lies. So if you permit lies to begin to repeatedly come, you have actually invited the devil. The devil will come and grow, because the devil says, after all, you are my child. You are lying. I am the father of lies. Wherever, pull it out of your life. Pull out the anger out of your life. Forgive. It may be very painful to forgive, but forgive. Don't be a slave to the devil. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. Get it. If you are stealing, stop stealing. But that's not enough. Bad must work. Doing something useful with their own hands. So there is what to put off. You put off stealing, and there's what to put on. Begin to work. If you don't work, when the hunger begins to grip your stomach, very soon you will want to go back to, you will be tempted. You stop stealing, and come on, you wake up to begin to look for what to use your hand to do to earn a living. So there's what to pull out, there's what to plant. You pull out falsehood, you plant truth. You pull out anger, you plant forgiveness. You pull out stealing, you plan hard work to take care of yourself and to take care of others. Do something useful with your hand that they may have something to share with those in need. You take so that you may take care of yourself and also be able to have something to share with others. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk, immoral talks, wicked thoughts, thoughts of curses. The believer cannot be using his mouth to speak immorality and use the same mouth to worship God. You are the one who tell your mouth you will never speak an immoral word again. Don't let lies come out of your mouth. You are the one who tell your mouth, this mouth, you will never speak a lie. You will never speak a lie again. You are the one who tells your mouth, this mouth, you will not never be there throwing light-hearted jokes all over the place. And after a time, you become a prisoner of light-heartedness, a total clown. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others. Each time you speak, ask yourself, what I have said, will it build somebody? Will it encourage somebody? Will it draw the person closer to God? The thing I have said, who benefits from it? That which will not bless others, will draw others closer to God, make others to fear God, is called unwholesome talk. Do what will benefit the listeners. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 31 it says, get rid of bitterness. Who will get rid of bitterness? It is not God. God will not do it. You are the one who rid it. You pull it out. Get rid of rage, that anger. So that you begin to behave like a rabid dog. You begin to act like you want to shout all over. And then after a time, you begin to ask, why did I do all that? Don't do what you so regret. Brawling, slander, and no whatever form of malice. Put away this thing in verse 32. Be kind, compassionate to one another. So there are things. If you want to maintain freedom from sin, there are things you cooperate with God to pull out of your life. There are also things you decide. You can put on compassion. You don't wait for anybody to give you compassion. If you see somebody suffering, just ask yourself, if I was the one in that situation, what would I do? Let's go again to another verse in the Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. The book of Colossians chapter 3, 5 to 10. Remember what we are handling? We are handling freedom from sin. And we have said, if you want to know freedom from sin, you need to know what happened to you. You died to sin. You need to begin to declare it. You need to hand over your life to the Lord. Hand over every part of your body to the Lord for righteousness. We are also saying, there are also things that you need to cooperate with God to do. Pull them. They are the destruction to carry out. They are the thing to build. The negative thing should be destroyed. The positive thing planted. You plant righteousness. You plant righteousness in your life. That which you repeatedly do, which you repeatedly do, even if you don't feel like doing it, will actually soon become your character. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. But put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Here it says you put to death. It is not God. We want to repeat it because there are people who just say passively, God will do it. God has done what he should do. You are the one to do certain things. He said put to death, pull out, get rid, uproot, destroy, separate. It is you to do it. It is not God. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. So there are things that you should put off. There are things you should put to death. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once, there was the life you once lived, the life you once lived. You used to. Now it is something in the past. You used to do it. But now, he said you used to do this, but there's something you should do now. Get it? But now, you must also rid yourself of all this. Of such thing as this anger. Anger is coming again. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. He says, now rid yourself. What does it mean to rid yourself? You look into your life. Anger is there. You pull it out. You look into your life. Falsehood, you pull it out. You look into your life. Bitterness is there. You pull it out until you are able to look in your life and say it is no longer there. Verse 9 says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You have taken off your old self. Get it? You have taken off your old self. Your old self is the filthy garment you were wearing. The filthy garment. The filthy garment. The filthy life. You have taken it off. But he says that you have not only taken the old self. If you took away the filthy garment, you are naked. You become naked. You put on the new garment. Put off the old. Put on the new. So righteousness, holiness is not passivity. There are things to put off. There are things to put on. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Oh, that is something wonderful. As you put on the old self, put off the old self and put on the new self, that new self is being renewed day by day into the likeness, into the image of the Lord, into the image of the Lord. And that's one of the purpose of your meditation, your daily dynamic encounter with God. As you read the word, you look at the word more and more, and as you decide to write the word in your life, what is written in the word will soon become what is written in your life, and then it will be said of you. Just as it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That which is written in the word of God, as you begin to interact with people, they will see what was written in the word of God become what is written in your own life. So holiness is not passivity. You pull out and you write certain things in your life. The Bible calls us here to put off. It is man's responsibility uprooting the thing that should not be in his life. It is not enough to uproot the negative things. The person who stops doing the wrong thing and does not start doing the right thing will soon go back to doing the wrong thing. You should confront in your life and just name some of the things that when you look at your life, they are still in your life that should be put off. Look at your life. So there are the negative things to put off, but there are also the positive things. Just look a bit again at Colossians chapter 3. Look at from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. These are things to put on. This is the new dress, the new life, compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. Clothe yourself with patience. That is what Christian character is all about. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord. So forgiveness is part of the new life. Get it written in your life. Bitterness is part of the old life. Forgiveness is part of the new life. Anger is part of the old life. Forgiveness is part of the new life. And over all these virtues, put on love, which bind them up together in perfect unity. So there are things to put off, then there are things to put on. This compassion, this patience, this kindness, this gentleness, this love. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Look at the things that are to be written. Peace. You are anxious, you are worried, you are panicking. The world is afraid, you are also afraid, fearful. And say, and be thankful. So being gratitude is part of the new thing to get written in your life. One of the things, what we are actually stressing here, is that if you pull out the negative and you don't plant the positive, very soon the negative will rush in. Holiness is not passivity. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, or let the word of God dwell in your heart richly. The psalmist says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So there are certain things to write. There are certain things that should become part of your life. The word of God dwelling in your heart richly. Admonishing one another in all wisdom through psalms, through hymn, through spiritual songs. Singing to God with gratitude in your heart. You encourage one another. You sing psalms. You sing hymns. These are things. You used to sing the wrong things in the world. You have put them off now. Begin to sing the right thing. Begin to write the right things. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Before you did everything in your own name, now do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. We look again in Ephesians chapter 4. We are looking at things to write. As we said, holiness is not passivity. As from verse 1, as prisoners of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Put on pride and put off pride and put on humility. Put on gentleness. Put on, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Wherever you are, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be. Make every effort, like the Bible says. Do everything to be at peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Again, Ephesians, the same Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Forgive each other, just as Christ, starting from 32 verse 4, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Follow God's example. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there are things to put off, there are also things to put on. If you will truly maintain your deliverance from sin, apart from uprooting the wrong thing and get it, it is you to do it, there are also things. Kindness, you ask yourself, what is the definition of kindness? Just know the definition of kindness and decide to be kind. And what does it mean to love? Know the you will first of all start by doing it in your mind. And then after a time, it becomes something that is spontaneous. Something that is spontaneous. Put on Christ. So in this first part of our teaching, we're simply looking at freedom from sin. And freedom from sin, we say, when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, many things you may discover that many wrong habits just go. And as they go, you may be surprised. After a time, you begin to face temptation. To face temptation does not mean that you have lost your salvation. You now come to the point where you discover you Christ did not just die for you. You also died with the Lord Jesus. And as you died with the Lord Jesus, the purpose was so that the power of sin
over your life may be broken. And as you know that the power of sin was broken, begin to proclaim it and take your stand. It is a fact. It is not something to be disputed. Then take every part of your body, lay them on the altar, and say, Lord, I offer my hands, I offer my mouth, I offer my ears, what you will never use this hand to do. Because that which was mine, that which I inherited from my forefathers, that which I got the Adamic nature died, and that which I have now is totally a new life. And that new life belongs to you. I hand over my life, I hand over my hand, I hand over my mouth. And after you do that, begin to cooperate with God by saying, I will no longer yield to my former master. But there are things that you should uproot from your life, and there are things that you should get planted in your life. Uproot the wrong things and plant the right thing. As you do it again and again, righteousness will become in a permanent way your nature. And the nature of Christ, the character of Christ, will become that which will be visible to everyone outside. And day by day, you will find yourself walking in holiness. And that is what freedom from sin is all about. May the Lord help you to enter into your victory. And may the Lord help you to lay hold on your freedom and walk in your freedom. And may the Lord help you to know that revival that starts by total freedom from the power of sin. May God bless you.